Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 8. Even though we don't know exactly what number episode this is, you could go figure it out because we always screw around and record extra episodes. But anyway, I'm back with my great friend Sharon today, and we're going to be talking about music. So excited.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, baby. but before we do, we're going to have a few words for my kitty. No, we're going to pull a card, and I actually have a quote. So while Sharon keeps shuffling her deck, I'm going to read the quote. And this quote is from the Bhagavad Gita. I am the ritual and the sacrifice. I am true medicine and the mantram. I am offering. I am the offering and the fire which consumes it and the one who it is offered. I am the father and the mother of the universe and its grandfather too. I am its entire support system. I am the sum of all knowledge, the purifier, the syllable Om. I am the sacred scriptures, the Rig, Yajur, and Sama Vedas. I am the goal of life, the Lord and support of all, the inner witness, the abode of all. I am the only refuge, the one true friend. I am the beginning, the staying, and the end of creation. I am the womb and the eternal seed. I am heat. I give and withhold rain. I am immortality and I am death. I am what is and what is not. And that is from the Bhagavad Gita. And that was Krishna reading that to Arjuna.
I have never still read that book, and I still want to, and I still need to, but I will one of these days.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting. Okay.
I listened to it a whole bunch. That was really powerful. You know what?
I should listen to it too.
Yeah, and that's one of the most powerful lines in it when he's talking to Arjuna. There's another one that's really most people would know. I guess it's more popular. It's the one where he is, I am become death, destroyer of worlds. And I'm pretty sure that's coming up after that, and that's in that same area. But yeah, I love that one, though, because it's powerful, because he describes everything that you can think of as forces in the universe and stuff. So,
Alrighty then, I have our card.
Sun?
Yo, the sun.
That's crazy. I just pulled that card.
I know.
For a friend of ours. Shout out, maybe he's in the chat. Shout out to Sammy. I did a reading for him.
What up, Sammy?
What's up, Sammy?
He's my boy. It's blurry. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry.
Here, you know what? I'm sorry because I didn't. Let me do this. Hold it up one more time. There you go.
You didn't switch it over to me? No, I'm just kidding. I don't care if it's like, it's fine. You could see it.
I switched it to you now, so everyone can see just you instead of both of us. So the card's bigger, but anyway, go ahead.
No, you can switch it back. You don't need to zoom me all the way in, but yeah, anyway, that's the sun.
Awesome.
So what can you tell us about the sun? Because I haven't really looked much at the sun card and looked at the references. So anything I say will totally just be intuitive. It won't be because of what I've read. And I know what you're going to say.
Oh, you do?
Kind of, maybe.
I was going to say, that's great. Use your intuition.
I know.
Well, yeah, I wasn't actually, exactly. I was going to say something else.
Okay. What were you going to say?
Because I was just gonna let that stand, and then I was gonna say something. But it was funny because you're right. But I figured you already knew that, so I didn't say anything. Haha, I was one step ahead of you. So I'm just picking on you. I was gonna say that the sun, you know, I was gonna say this quote that was, I guess, attributed to Buddha, which is there are three things that cannot be hidden for long: the sun, the moon, and the truth. And I think it's very synchronistic that we got the sun when it comes to music, because there's so many references to the sun in music. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get into that later. You know, like, here comes the sun, little darling. It's all right. All right. I don't want to get us kicked off of YouTube for my awesome. They're going to be like, is that the Beatles? That sounds.
You're breaking up. Yeah. They're like, that sounds, I think you're violating something here. Could we, like,
yeah, sun's being violated. Because John Lennon's memory. So Yeah, I think that it's synchronistic in that way. One other thing that I like about the sun is you see those four discs in there. So, and that's in a lot of different cards, like the Rider-Waite, you also see four sunflowers. And fours, and especially round like that, you think of pentacles. And a four of pentacles is something, the card always reminds me of a solid foundation, because the pentacles have to do with earth, you know, yourself, your connection to your family, how you make a living, your career. So when it comes to the sun and it's out and it's bright, you know, it's like I said, it can't hide for long. Everybody sees everything, all the lights out. It's kind of like when the light comes on and you see the truth about everything. And it's about having that strong foundation when it does, because right now, you know, this world's a little crazy and some people could see some truths more than others. And I think that not only is it synchronistic that it's the solstice, right, with the sun right now. So the sun is actually, it's like the sun's holiday
smokes,
because the 21st,
total sync.
Yeah. And I pulled it last night. You pulled it today. That's crazy, because these last 3 days, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, the sun's at the even dead spot, and now tomorrow it's going to rise. So I think it's a shout out letting us know tomorrow that,
or Saturday, I think Saturday's.
Oh, Saturday. Okay. Well, because sure. It's better.
Christmas, right?
Yeah. What? Well, I know it's dead for 3 days and then it rises. I'd have to look it up, but anyway, okay. I'm sure in the chat they might know, because, you know, Christmas could be a day off on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was thinking about that because my mood has been really affected. I was just telling Sharon this today on the phone. It's like, what day is it today?
Not that quick. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I know, right? So yeah, it's not even 2022 yet, guys. We still have a little bit of time. I was telling her how I was like in a hermit mode, and I was like, it's hard to say, like not sadder, but just not my usual
introverted and more introverted than even usual, perhaps.
Yeah. And I was wondering if it had to do with the sun, and then pulling the cards like that, I think it's kind of like a little bit of a nod to us to be like, yo, the sun's coming. And this time when it comes back, people are going to really see the truth, you know, because that North node isn't in Gemini anymore. Shout out to Zerilath. I was talking to him the other night, and he was telling me how the North node is shifting from, I don't know exactly everybody, but I know that it was in Gemini coming into 2020. And that's when we saw that split, you know, half of the world believed a narrative of the other half is doubting it. We'll just say that, right? And there's a real split. But I think it's time that everything's going to come back together. And what that means is that there's going to be another truth again. And it doesn't mean that both sides are going to interpret it the same way, but it's going to be, I think, something out there. And I think people might know what I'm hinting at, although I don't want to talk about it, but I think a truth of something is going to come out, you know, and certain people are going to spiral up and certain people are going to spiral down. So we're all about spiraling up here at the Oversharing Show. So make sure you get your, boots on. It's going to get crazy. You know, I think better times are on the horizon. I'm excited about it. So that's what the sun means for me right now. What do you think?
So I see like a little youth, like a child, a baby on the horse. So that could also represent like looking at the world from the eyes of a child and like newness.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, we're entering in this place where like something new is coming, right? And I did a reading for myself. It was either last night's reading or the night before, but it was really about newness. It was also about newness, new things coming. And it was very hopeful and very inspiring and encouraging as well. And that little child is holding what appears to be a wand, right? And wands represent fire and action. So this little baby is charging ahead to the future and action. He's going to do stuff. So that's kind of what I see in the card.
Yeah, it's like little baby Gandalf riding off to war on Shadowfax. Yeah. Little baby Gandalf.
Was he a white horse?
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the lord of all horses.
Wow.
Ever has he served me well.
Well, you know what? Now I realize it looks like a wand, but it's actually a flag. It's hard to see because of the colors, but it's a flag.
Banner. Yeah.
A banner. So he's going off to, like, you know, fight.
Fight or just proclaim something to the world. You know,
yeah, that's how fight they the did good it. Fight.
Like he's flying something. That banner because that's how the people communicated a lot, allegedly, back in the day. Even on ships, they'd fly banners, but also you'd ride with a banner. And in the Rider-Waite, he has a red, just like your scarf that you got on there, your little shawl. Your shawl. Yeah. I like that. I really love that. And it still is held by a staff. You're right. That's still a rod or whatever.
It's still,
Like in The Fool, he's holding it like a guy who's run away from home with the stuff in the sack, but it's still what that represents is like the different, like you always have that power of creation inside you. It's just, what are you using it for? And The Fool, he's using it to run away ostensibly, you know, depending on what we've talked about. That
start on a new journey or finish his journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Sharon, what are we talking about today? Welcome back to Coffee Talk.
Coffee Talk.
I'm feeling a little verklempf. I just want to give a shout out to our chat. You know, Thursday nights have become like the favorite part of my week when I get to hang out in the chat and I get to listen to my best friend, Sharon, talk about the best things. And I get to hear my silly jokes that mostly only I get, which is great for me. and I get to interact in the chat. And it's always fun to see new people in there.
Yes.
You know, so
the last couple of weeks have been just totally new people every time.
And it's all love in there. And we have so many moderators, no trolls yet, which is great. Nice troll free chat. And I'm sure if one comes in, it would just be like, what?
Yeah. Band.
Nobody even cares in there.
We'd wrench hammer.
I probably mean, mess with them for wrench. A while, you know, like, yeah.
Troll him for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Or her. I mean, but it's usually him.
Yeah, or a freaking AI robot, who knows. But anyway, speaking of AI robots, who anyone knows, what are we talking about today, Sharon?
We're going to talk about music and how it has affected our lives and how we grew up with and how music at a young age affected us and influenced us. And our backgrounds, et cetera, that sort of thing with regards to music. So I think we're going to start with me, and I'm going to overshare on my side about music. So I guess we'll start off with my parents. We didn't plan for, like, we just kind of did a rough outline for this. So Brandon doesn't probably know half the stuff I'm going to talk about, which is okay. So my parents grew up in South America, Latin America. My father actually was a singer and he sang in nightclubs and stuff. So he did the whole worldly secular type music and he was in those circles. And then he met my mom. And they started singing kind of publicly on Mexican TV and radio, and also in Colombia as well, where my father's from. And my mother is from Mexico. So they have pictures of them being like on Mexican radio and TV and even Colombian radio. So there was that background. And so they were professional artists, singers, and we grew up me and my younger sister grew up after they kind of came out of all of that and became kind of very Christian but very religious, like Christian. So it was kind of like a giving up of all of the secular stuff, which, I mean, that's okay. Because I think the whole, like, my dad being a total singer and attracting that kind of crowd, especially the women, because he was in nightclubs, was not probably a good thing. And I'm sure he recognized, I mean, clearly he recognized that. So he gave all that up. And he gave up writing or singing. And I wonder if he wrote, I don't know if he wrote song lyrics for that. Now that I think about it, it's a good question. But he, when he became a Christian, he started writing lyrics for Christian songs. So that was kind of the background and I grew up in, and I kind of was born into all of that. So by the time I was a teenager and, you know, learning about different genres of music and like, that sort of thing, I was being led to like not listen to secular music because it's devil music, right? Allegedly, quote, devil music. And I get what, you know, I get what they're saying, they were saying. But at the time, for some reason, I mean, it was just like totally normal to just be like rebellious about that. And, but not in like a really terrible way, but just like, yeah, well, whatever. I'm in my room or I have my own, you know, what do you call? I forgot what you call those Walkmen. Yeah. Like I have my own Walkman. I'm going to listen to whatever I want, you know? So, you know, we listened to like modern radio stations, like rock, just like soft rock stuff. I listened to smooth jazz stuff that I was influenced by what my siblings were listening to. So whatever they were listening to, that's like, if I was in their car, cause my siblings were older than me already. So they were like, when I was a teenager, they already like lived in their own homes and had their own cars and stuff and were married and stuff. So I was already listening to stuff that was not necessarily Christian. And I mean, I still listened to the Christian stuff because I was around it all the time. But for me, for my liking, I liked other different genres too. And in high school, I was probably influenced a lot by my brother's choice in music. And so he liked a lot of different like rock bands. And then I was also influenced probably by friends at school, like in high school, and they listened to like rock music as well. But like even other genres like Sting and just world music, like music that I don't feel like it really has much of a genre, like Sting. I don't even know where to put Sting. He was just
like pop music, I guess you could say.
Maybe it was kind of pop-ish, but yeah. But it wasn't like Michael Jackson pop, because like I wasn't really exposed to Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, like it just, my brother listened to a lot of eclectic, really interesting stuff. So, and so I was influenced by that, and as I got older, I kind of got to the point where I was being more churchy, more like Christian. And I was like, I don't want to listen to any worldly secular music anymore. And I started like, this was only a few years back. So like a few years back, I don't know how many years, it was just like 3, 4, maybe something like that. And for a couple of years straight, I was just like, I just want to listen to Christian music. That's all I want to listen to. And so I did for like a couple of years straight. I just listened. That's all I wanted to listen to. I wasn't like, as much as it is kind of like, it feels kind of like I forced it on myself. I just felt like it. And so I did. And, the funny part about that is that once I kind of saw through the whole religion thing and the like indoctrination that happens in churches and things like that, and I left churchianity and I stopped going to church and I started researching like the history of the church and the history of all kinds of these things like religion, and coming into like the esoteric topics that that show that like the Bible and scripture and things like whatever Krishna was saying, whatever Buddha was saying is basically the same thing Jesus was saying. So, you know, they were actually talking about the the esoteric part, like the inner part. So it's not exterior, it's not external. It doesn't have to do with like someone coming back to save you. It's about you doing the inner work, doing the shadow work, healing yourself, and raising, you know, in light, coming to enlightenment, raising the Christ consciousness, coming to that place. And that's you rescuing yourself, basically. So anyway, I was coming to those. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at this point, but that's where I was coming to. And the funny part was that for a little while, once I stopped listening to the Christian music that I was listening to, sometimes like I sync my phone to my computer, I sync the songs that I like, but for whatever reason, some of those Christian songs were still somehow making it onto my phone in some random playlist that I wasn't really aware of. So sometimes the song would come back on that was a Christian song and I would hear it and I'd be like, well, let me like listen to the lyrics and see like what they're saying, because like I wasn't paying attention to them before. I was just all, they're Christian, so they must be good, so I'm going to listen to them, right? But I wasn't really listening to what they were saying. And in some cases, I was able to listen to them with like new eyes and see that perhaps I could turn them around to see them as like singing those songs to my higher self. And like, it was just weird. It was odd, but it was definitely interesting. Let's see, what else was I going to tell you guys? Yeah, I don't know. If you want to chime in, Brandon, chime in.
Well, it sounds really like what our favorite comedian, Owen Benjamin, I was just listening to him the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, every group of people or every race or every, you know, whatever it is, belief system, or geographical area of group of people, they all have their own prophet and to give them their own message to live the way that they should. And he's like, it's all just like Jesus tells us, you know, same kind of stuff. So I think it's crazy, really synchronistic anyway, that you said that. And it's just a different way to say it. Yeah, it's so true. And it made me think of a couple different things, but one story I did want to tell, because it kind of has to do with you, what you were saying, because I did go through the born again thing only for a couple of years when I was younger, but more recently when I was DJing a wedding, I think it was like 2016, and it was a Christian wedding, and they gave me all the music. We were like referred to them by the venue because we're like number one at the venue, whatever. Yeah. And so it was like a Thursday, and you know, I was like the guy who any wedding, it still is like any wedding that nobody wants to do, they're like, oh, Brandon will do it. Like Mikey likes it. Like he'll eat it, you know? So like, oh, we got this wedding on a Thursday. I'm like, sweet. So it's Thursday till midnight, and they gave me all the music, which never happens. Usually, you know, we sit down with a couple, they give us the music that they want for their formalities and stuff. And then they'll also give us some music for dinner and some for dance, but like they don't pick everything. But these people, because they're strict Christians, they couldn't listen to anything. You know, I think I was able to throw in one song. I forget what it was. Maybe What a Wonderful, I think I played What a Wonderful, World, because yeah,
you Wild.
What a Wonderful World. I love Louis. So yeah. It was crazy, and they couldn't dance. I guess they don't dance, so they just sang. And a couple times they grabbed the microphones and sang songs and stuff, but they didn't really move their feet too much. They just kind of swayed. Can't dance. Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to dance at all. And like if I like if my Bacon? Mom ever saw me, huh?
Like Kevin Bacon?
I don't even know that.
Oh,
story.
Footloose. There's that movie.
Oh, Footloose. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess I never saw that one, as usual.
I saw it a long time ago. I just know that it was like illegal to dance or something. So people in the chat are getting it. Don't worry.
Maybe I saw it. Maybe I did see it, but it's
people in the chat are getting it.
Yeah. The thing with movies for me is that if it's just like if I'm watching for entertainment purposes only, and it's not like super like it's not impacting me that much that like I'm going to quote it because it's so funny or anything like that. If it's just kind of like, I'm just watching it, I will forget what it's about. And then like, I can watch it again in like a year and it'll be like watching it again for the first time. Nice. Like, it was just like, whatever.
Yeah, but whatever.
Like, yeah. I forgot what I was telling you anyway.
About how you couldn't dance.
Oh, I couldn't dance. Yeah. And my mom would like flip out on me, and she probably still would to this day. Like, she'd give me the evil eye. Like, cause sometimes like I would, here's the funny part. Like, I would hear like salsa music and I didn't even know like how to, I didn't know how to describe what genre this stuff was, but I just knew it was freaking in running in my blood because I'm freaking Colombian. My dad's Colombian. I just knew that shit was like running through me. And I was just like, dude, I just want to dance. And I just like, I'd start moving and my mom would be looking at me with like an evil eye, like, don't you dare. And I'd just be like, whatevs. And I just keep moving.
Funny. Dude, it's like, if I'm ever at a DJ in a party and there's Spanish people there and I want to make them dance, I'll just play Suavemente. I've like never seen it. You cannot dance to that.
Merengue, dude. Suavemente.
Yeah.
Bésame. Bésame. Que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's like suave.
Suave.
We're going to get canceled now.
Yeah, I better not. I better stop.
Got a copyright strike. It's fun to mock. See, it's not despair. We're just mocking them. All right. So let me tell my story now. Let's see. I grew up as a little boy on a bayou. So my parents were into like classic rock and all that like Southern rock stuff. So I grew up with a lot of that. And then the first though music that I remember liking, I think we had a Quiet Riot cassette, that song, Come On, Feel the Noise. And it said, Girls Rock Your Boys. Would be always like, they're saying girls fuck your boys. We were like terrible, like eight or something. I don't even think we knew what that meant, but we were just like, yeah. And then my brother got this rap compilation tape. And this is like when rap was like new, but it was like a compilation already. And I remember it had the Houdini song, Friends. How many of us have them? Friends. That song. Ones you can really count on. Let's be friends. And then Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys was on there. Here's a little story I'd like to tell about three young brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with Ed Rock, MCA, and me, Mike D. I could sing the whole song, but I won't. There once was a horsey named Paul Revere. All right. Anyway, so and that song is like gets into pretty cool stuff because it's like about these guys.
Your cat's like running away because he's like, stop. No, I'm just kidding.
Because they're white rappers and my cat's black. Beastie Boys. It's about a song. They're like walking through the desert and about a guy
on a horse with no name. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, this horse has a name, Paul Revere. And yeah, it has nothing to do. It actually probably has everything to do with the American Revolution. We just don't know. But they go to this bar and then they meet this other dude and they shoot up the bar and steal all the women and the beer and beat up all the guys. You know, it's like classic. It's set in the West. Anyway, so I was onto that. And then I really liked hip hop, but I really also liked heavy metal. But I never liked any of the popular stuff. Like everybody was gushing about Bon Jovi. And I like, you know, I've really never considered killing myself. But one time I was like, if I have to listen to Bon Jovi one more time, no, I'm just kidding. But I just wanted to get my level of disdainment in there because I'm just not a fan.
I never liked his stuff. And I just have a little quick story to tell that one time. I was married to Wesley at the time and people had told me that the American Idol was coming in to do whatever auditions. Well, I didn't even know what that meant, but I guess it meant like a freaking stadium full of freaking people and then like treating you like chattel and like thousands of people like walking up to these judges and you had like 5 seconds to like sing something. But like throughout all of that, you had to memorize a freaking stupid song. And one of the songs was a Bon Jovi song. And like I was like, this is really a song. Like who freaking wrote this stupid ass? Like, it's so stupid. Like a 5-year-old could have written this song. Like, how is this guy popular? This song is so freaking stupid. Pardon me if I'm offending anybody that loves Bon Jovi.
But anyway, I'm not pardoning myself. If you love Bon Jovi, you know,
I'm not pardoned.
It's fine. Listen, we could agree that you're retarded. No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody has their likes and dislikes. I personally don't like Bon Jovi. Never did. I mean, I never really was exposed to his stuff in the first place, but that was my freaking first exposure to a song of his. And I'm like, I can't even sing this song. It's so freaking stupid. I can't. I just can't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
After that, so my friends also got into like Motley Crue, which Motley Crue is kind of cool because they're a little harder, like Kickstart My Heart and all this stuff. But they, you know, dressed all like women. But they'd also be into like Poison and like Skid Row and all these bands. And they're all just like either about like, you know, just hooking up with a bunch of women and doing drugs or about how life is so terrible. So, but I always liked the heavier stuff. So I got into that. But before I kind of got into that stuff, that's when my mom got into the Born Again thing. And I was telling you about that too. So when that was going on, basically all music was like devil music. It's of the world, all this stuff. And again, like you said, I get what they're saying, because at the end of the day, if you look at what a lot of these songs glorify, it could lead somebody down dark roads. That lifestyle is not exactly a natural one, I guess.
Demoralizing be a good word to use for that?
Yeah. Demoralizing is a good way to put it. Exactly. And not all of it, you know, some of it is uplifting and could be cool. And some stuff sneaks through. I think, you know, if it's just really good, it's going to make it through. But pop music and all this stuff, you know, if you look back the way that we are in culture, I feel that it's taken us to some pretty crazy extremes. So, but anyway, so I remember having a conversation with my mom. She's like, the Beastie Boys, that's like the devil, you know? And then I was like, I wanted to hear Guns N' Roses. And she's like, they have a song, I used to love her, but I had to kill her. I'm like, so, but yeah, she's like, that's so terrible. So I remember that. And then she got out of that. We got away from that. And then this one, I got more into rap and stuff. And I remember the first time I heard Eazy-E, I was like, wow, this is fucking crazy. Something about it in the beats and like NWA. And I remember, I actually have a joke about this because my dad was listening to the Eazy-E one time. He heard it or overheard it. And he's like, I want to hear that. So he took my tape and he played it on the stereo in the living room while we ate dinner in the dining room, which is right next to the living room, basically. So it was like we were eating dinner to like this Eazy-E soundtrack, because the way that they used to do the tapes back then, it was like told a story. So they'd play a song and there'd be like an interlude in the middle and shit, you know. And basically Eazy-E the whole time, if you're not familiar, he just talks about like, like, you know how me and you have to breathe to survive? He like talks about fucking hoes, like we have to breathe like that much. He's just like, I'm just banging and banging. So toward the end of dinner, my dad's like, this Eazy-E guy's full of shit. If he had sex with that many women, he'd be dead. Or he's like, his dick would fall off. Or he said something like that.
That's hilarious.
And then like a few years later, Eazy-E died of AIDS.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was like, that's the shit I used to tell on stage. I'm like, my dad's a fucking prophet. 100% true story. So that's where I get it, everybody. So you should listen to me, because even though, you know, I have my views about AIDS and we'll talk about that on other podcasts, but still, I feel the lifestyle he engaged in was a little dangerous, you know, when you're partying like that. But anyway, so but it was very catchy. And, you know, then I was into NWA. Then later I got into like Dr. Dre. I think I was the first white kid in America to buy his album because I remembered him from NWA, and I used to go to the record store all the time. And like, it was in the record store and I was like, what is this? So I bought it, and me and my friend were listening to it. And then like,
you bought it.
I bought it. I copped it. And then I was like playing in my ride, and my friend and I we just played it until like there was a hole in the tape. We used to play it so much. It was so good. And then like 9 months later, the single came out and like, everyone's like, yo, Dr. Dre. And I'm like, that shit's played out. So I've always had this like attitude of being a music snob, because I've always been ahead of the curve, I feel, just because of the friends that I've had you know, before the internet, I've had these friends that used to hang out at record stores or just, I don't know where they got their information from, but like my friend, I went to go see Megadeth and Stone Temple Pilots was opening up for him and they were getting booed off stage because nobody knew who they were. And my friend was the only one. And he was like, yeah, he was like, and then like a year later, everybody loves him. It's so funny.
Right. Right. Know? Even I used to like Stone Temple Pilots. Wow.
Yeah. They made it big. Well,
because my brother.
Yeah.
And, I think it was my brother.
Their songs too really connected with people. They connected what was going on at the time because like the 90s really, you know, we were kind of responding and rebelling to all the materialism of the 80s, but it was just more materialism. But it was like, well, if you buy this flannel, then you know, it was crazy. But so then I started to get into like heavy metal, but I still always liked the rap. And I feel like the heavy metal may have been more of a positive in my life because it was like a, although it did maintain the rage squirt, you know, so it was kind of like this way that I could express this rage that I had that I didn't even understand why. That probably stems back from my dick getting clipped. but I feel it was also a good way to express it positively, depending on the bands that you listen to, because a lot of them talked about like freedom and individualism and like creativity and all this stuff and what could be possible. And or they'd be calling out shit that's going on in the world. Like Metallica used to rail against all the wars. Megadeth still does. They always did. Megadeth was great. They had like a song called Foreclosure of a Dream. And they would talk about people's house getting foreclosed on. They had one Symphony of Destruction. And they basically, the lyrics were, the chorus goes, just like the Pied Piper led rats through the streets, dance like the marionettes, swinging to the Symphony of Destruction. And the beginning of the song goes, it's like you take a mortal man and put him in control. Something, watch the heads a roll. It's crazy. Like the truth bombs in these songs. And I was like, yeah. So I feel like that had a positive effect on my life, but I could see how it can also be a trap too, because they're not really talking about solutions. You're just going to, you know, concerts and headbanging and beating each other up. But the thing that I think had the biggest effect is the rap music. And it's because the way that the women, the bitches and the hoes, you know how it is. At least I didn't say females, all right? You know, these bitches and hoes, they get objectified a lot. And
at least I didn't say females.
It's an inside joke.
I know.
So it's like they get very, and again, you know, maybe they deserve it. I'm not making judgments here. People are raised a different way and they do things, whatever. So anyway, and a lot of these rappers would be talking about how like they have all these hoes and fuck hoes and I ain't having no wife and all this. And so I was kind of like, I made that my mantra for a while. And I'm not like blaming the rap music. There's other stuff that happened that made me susceptible to this message and then be like, yeah, but it's just like it was glorifying it. So I was going with it. So I thought it was cool. You know, that's all. Just like we all do, just like crack. So, but what I found out later is all these rappers like Ice Cube, for example, like I used to idolize Ice Cube. I was like, yeah, that guy gets it. But then I found out he's a phony. Like he had a wife. And this is good, though. Right. So this part is good because he had a wife even when he was in NWA. And if you don't, you probably don't know the story, Sharon. But when NWA split up, Ice Cube, Eazy-E left first and then Ice Cube left. And it's because of his wife. Allegedly, the story goes, she like stood by him and helped him start his own record label. But then the whole time he's like talking about how bitches ain't shit and I'm gonna fuck all these bitches. And the same thing with Snoop, you know, he had a wife and all this stuff. So I mean, maybe they were fucking bitches on the side or whatever, but they still were demonizing the own lifestyle that they were living that was helping support them, because without that woman in their life they probably couldn't have been successful, right?
Or the alleged lifestyle they were living. Right.
Yeah.
Because they could have just been singing the songs that somebody else wrote the lyrics for, or, you know, even if they wrote the lyrics for them. But
yeah. Yeah. They just knew. I think they knew what was hot in the streets. I feel like there probably was some people we'll never hear of that were awesome rappers. And these guys were just the ones that were like, you know, because like Ice Cube even came from like a good part of town and went to, you know, so they're probably just kind of hung out with those people and kind of took it and, you know, whatever. I'm sure maybe they wrote it themselves too, but you're right. I mean, we're never going to know the true story, but they were misrepresenting themselves, right? They weren't really, because at the end of the day, if you knew how destructive that lifestyle was, you would know, because most of the rappers that make it for one or two songs and then fizzle out, they're really living that lifestyle. Or look at somebody like Tupac, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got fucking shot. Whatever you think of that, he was living that lifestyle, but he didn't last long. But, you know, who's still around? Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, you know, Ice Cube's talking about you shouldn't say the N-word. You shouldn't say the N-word if you're white. Oh, yeah, Ice Cube, you shouldn't say that word. Okay.
Does he know that there's an actual word in the dictionary that's N-I-G-G-A-R-D?
Niggered? Oh, yeah.
That niggardly? Means you're stingy? Stingy.
That's what he's doing. He's being stingy with his truth. But that's all right. Yeah. Listen. You know, he's just somebody out there for, you know, people get it. But so that's kind of my experience when I was younger up until about the Marine Corps. And it kind of stayed in that frame of mind until I had my whole shift or epiphany about the world. And after that happened, I didn't really want to listen to much music at all. I got into this group called Run the Jewels kind of right before that. And as that was happening, and it's this hip hop group that's really, their beats are crazy. Yeah, really. So I'll still listen to that. And I was still listening to that a little bit, but I got more into like, I was listening to like Gregorian chants and like,
dude, I used to love Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so calming. A lot of this. Yeah. And then different.
And like Enya, I used to like listening to that one Enya song.
Yeah. Caribbean
Blue. So it was just like so calming.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because it's like I was coming out of this whole rage thing and I had to balance it out or whatever. But
yeah.
So that's where I went from there. But, you know, and then I realized, like I said, these people aren't really even living this lifestyle. But here I am trying to like live it myself, I guess, or using it to justify it. But it's just I was living a lie, you know. Literally.
Yeah. I see that the way that I was living life, for some reason, I was like in this observe mode. Like all the things that were attempted to be indoctrinated in me never really stuck over time. And I don't know if it has anything to do with something that my sister always told us younger sisters, me and my younger sister. But when we were young, I mean, elementary school, you know, going to school, public school, and, you know, kids can be mean, right? And they'll bully you and they'll say mean things. But my sister was very encouraging, and she would always tell us, you guys are the best, you guys are smart, you're intelligent, you're beautiful, and don't ever let anybody tell you otherwise. But you know, it was balanced. It wasn't like she was saying, I feel like she was also saying, like, don't compare yourself to other people too. Like you are the best that you can be. You are doing the best that you can be. Like if somebody scores a higher grade than you, don't like beat yourself up over it too. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was very balanced as well. So because of that mindset, I kind of felt, I guess it gave me freedom to be myself or to be who I wanted to be and not feel like, even though I grew up in kind of like a culty religion, which was like, didn't allow me to do a lot of things. Like I used to have hair past my butt, like halfway down my thighs, and I couldn't wear earrings and I couldn't wear makeup. I still don't wear makeup, but it doesn't matter. I couldn't wear jeans. I couldn't wear shorts. I couldn't wear any kind of pants. I had to wear skirts that were like at least the knee or below, like at the knee or below, but anything higher than the knee was like, no, like that's bad. Or like, I couldn't wear something like this because I was exposing my shoulders and my arms, and I couldn't wear anything like super low cut. Like, I mean, my mom would be like, that's too low. And, So even though I was kind of raised kind of like really strict, I was in observe mode. So a lot of things like whatever music I listened to, I listened to it, and whatever I liked, you know. I wasn't, eventually I gravitated toward the things that I personally liked or found, harmonized with me. And there's kind of a funny story I didn't tell earlier, kind of. So my parents were so like, flipped out about like worldly music, like devil music, secular music, that my siblings would often listen to like Christian music that was secular adjacent. So it was like Christian rocky type of music, or like, yeah, or just like Christian R&B type.
Like Amy Grant or like Stryper?
No, it was like, I don't know if you know, I'm trying to remember his name. There was a group called Passage. You probably don't even know it, but there's this like famous, bass player who played in that band, and they only did one album, but it was like a really good album. And I, to this day, like if the songs come on, I really like them. Like they're really, the music's really nice. But yeah, it was like still like, even that was still too much for my parents. It was like, no, it has to be Christian. It has to be like old school, like hymns and stuff like that. Like it has to be like worshipy and stuff. I don't know.
What the hell are your parents doing? Cause no, I'm just saying, cause a lot of times when I see that stuff, it's like they're rebelling against their former lifestyle because they probably saw a lot of crazy stuff. But then when they get that crazy, I'm like, well, what were they doing before? You know what I mean? Like
it was, yeah, they were just too strict on it. But the funny part was like, we just did it anyway. So
yeah, my parents were great. They were like strict and not strict and strict. They weren't consistent with their strictness, but
most people, they're not consistent.
I got really like, my parents were really strict on me because I was the oldest. But then as soon as I was allowed to do something, then my brothers were, you know, like,
yeah,
it was so weird. I was like, what? Like, you know, I couldn't like go around the block when I was like 13. I'm like, I can't ride. And then finally he's like, you could ride your bike around the block. I'm like, thank God. Now it doesn't even matter. Cause everyone thinks I'm retarded now. Cause I could. And then, you know, then I'm going around the block, and then my youngest brother's like, I'm like, oh yeah, I can come now too. So I was always like, it's not fair, but
yeah,
it's weird how it shaped.
Stop copying me.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. But yeah, man, that's nuts.
Yeah. So like, because music has this effect, right? It can influence people if you allow it to, if the individual allows it to happen. That's why you can't like say it's good or bad. I mean, yes, there are some songs that are like, yeah, that's not good, but
like Me So Horny. You ever hear that song by Two Live Crew?
I don't know.
Real song. And, the cover of the album got banned. So the guy, Luther Campbell, Uncle Luke, they used to call him, he was part of Two Live Crew. He released a single called Banned in the USA. And it was like, instead of Born in the USA. And he was like, I was banned in the USA. I used to have
B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yeah. And I used to play it. Dude, we should get that for Owen.
We should get Burn Bear. Yeah. We should get Burn Bear to remake that one.
Yeah. Should get Bonanza Bear and Burn Bear remake it.
Yeah, you should.
I'll talk to him immediately. All right. So, yeah, so it's crazy. But yeah, like you were saying, I guess we're going to talk about that now, about how music is kind of, it's like a tool, just like a knife or a weapon or an axe or a gun or a hammer. These things could be used in good ways or bad ways. And if you're not aware, like I wasn't aware, and the way it was really affecting me is just because I feel the way we're raised in the system, We're always taught to get our validation from exterior sources. You know, we, you gotta, you know, if you don't behave, Santa's not going to come. That's a huge one, Santa Claus. And then like,
if you, you don't behave, mom and daddy are going to spank you or put you, in your, in a corner or whatever.
You get treats, you know, we're not going to get ice cream. And then you go to school. And if you want to get the teacher's praise, you know, you have this one teacher up there in front of like 20, 30 kids.
You get gold stars and stickers.
Gold stars and stuff. And then there becomes like this whole culture of like the anti that and this. And if you, if you're anti that, then you get the validation from the other cool kids or whatever. So it's always about this validation. And then when we get to the music, if you are, if you're wounded from trauma and stuff like that, and you have this different way of looking at the world, and it's a, you know, a screwed up way, we'll say, this will help validate it. So then you're living this lifestyle. And normally if that wasn't the case, then maybe people would ostracize you or what it was, you couldn't get that validation. But now, because there's this whole music that's praising this and worshiping this lifestyle, you can go ahead and feel good about it. And you could drive down the street and listen to these sick beats and be like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck bitches and get my dick sucked. Oh yeah. And, bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks, you know, you're just like, whatever, who cares? And yeah. So I think that because of that, it could be damaging, and it's kind of like enabling your lifestyle. And this isn't to damn the whole music. That's why I brought up the whole part about like the way we're raised in society. It's just, that's what happens to us. And it's up to us to figure it out and navigate through it. And it's not, you know, some people wake up and just are fine, but most of us figure it out. And we're like, ah, shit, now what? And then you just got to like slowly crawl through the slime and get through. But I'm telling you, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it's worth it. So I definitely suggest doing that. But yeah, that's kind of how in a nutshell. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to add to that, that the reason, or at least one of the reasons why music has that control over people is that it does have an energy to it. And I mean, it, even the lyrics, like words have, can be spells, right? Whether good or bad, like they can be good things. Good lyrics can be good and be inspiring and hopeful and grateful. And, but there can clearly be really bad ones as well. But that's all tied with energy and could be, I mean, could it be also tied with the, when we say energy, like even the frequency at which it is played? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot that, the frequency, that's something that we both heard of fairly recently. But the other stuff that you talk about, that stuff that is a lot more provable, I feel. And even like we talk about vibration, you know, how, wow, it's crazy that it broke up when I said that, how this whole universe vibrates. And when you're listening to music, it's up to you in what direction you're going to vibrate. And a lot of this stuff, depending on the beats and the music, it's going to take you to different places, especially, like I said, if you're not conscious of it. Because how we always talk about evacuation and how you're kind of, you know, when we've talked about demons before in the past and all this stuff, when you make a conscious decision to just like check out or whatever it is and then engage in like a impulsive behavior, say it's like eating or whatever, right? So you're just like, whatever, and I'm just gonna fucking eat this whole bag, and you're like not even paying attention, like watching TV, and you're just like eating a whole bag of like Dickskins. I had to throw in some humor. Like, you know, whatever, pork rinds, whatever it is. So you're eating, ooh, these things. Yeah. Mm. And
I have some. I should open a bag.
What a coincidence. Synchronicity. You're eating Grabbler skins? How dare you? No. You don't know what pigs are, Sharon? No. It's... So anyway.
I don't eat them all the time, but I sometimes I get the good brand, okay?
That's a joke for sarcastic. He'll get it. Oh, anyway, so...
Mr. Warlock.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody, by the way. Merry Christmas. And
ooh, yeah,
next year we'll get to say Happy New Year. So we could just say a little early.
Happy solstice.
Happy solstice for sure. Hope you guys made it through Well, yeah. Because like I said, the sun's coming up and we're going to be unstoppable. So what was I talking about? Pork skins? Energy.
Pork rinds.
Yeah. So energy has a big thing. So this is something I learned when I began DJing, because the person who taught me how to DJ made the analogy of energy and used it and said, you know, when you're starting, because he like, I started at bars. So I'd be like, all right, you're at a bar. You got to think of it this way. It's like people are coming in, you know, they're already here, whatever. They're listening to the jukebox and then they're just filing in, but you can't just like hit them with all the hard stuff. You got to kind of start off with some stuff that they're going to know, maybe sing along to as they're drinking. But again, no, you don't want to give away all the big songs. Like you can't play the big ones early. So I made the analogy. I'm like, wow, it reminds me of starting a fire because I just
kindling.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of that because I just got into all that stuff prior to being a DJ. I got into like surviving in the woods and I went backpacking a whole bunch and started fires from like, you know, flint and steel and all other kinds of ways.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I was also Boy Scout. Yep. And then I was a United States Marine too. So like, I'm the last Boy Scout.
Standing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Last Boy Scout standing. There's actually a movie called The Last Boy Scout, and I used to love it. I got to watch it again. But Bruce Willis was in it. It was a pretty good movie. Old Satan Claus. That was, oh my God, it's so crazy.
What?
Because that's at the end of the movie, it had something to do with it too, because his daughter was in it and she drew this character called Satan Claus because she was all goth and stuff, you know, and it was the part of the story was like how he lost touch with his daughter because of the divorce, because his wife was like banging some dude or whatever. Anyway, good movie. But Satan Claus is funny because I was listening to Owen and he was breaking down Polar Express and he was talking about Santa Claus, how it's an anagram for Satan. So I was like, yeah, Bruce Willis was telling us that back in the 80s.
Yeah, but that's also kind of, I feel like that's also kind of a grabble, because basically, like the way I've heard Santos Bonacci and like Bill Donahue talk about it, it's the Saint Claus is the holy, which is also saintly, the holy chrism that rises from your spinal, up your spinal column, and that's basically like the whole, like that's basically what Jesus was telling us to achieve, yeah, Christ consciousness.
So true. And I think that
the colostrum, sorry, the holy colostrum, the holy chrism basically. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's really interesting work, by the way, that they done. Look into that stuff, guys. That sounds interesting because I love that. But I think that whole idea was inverted and they use it materialistically. You know, you got to go out and buy all these presents. And that's funny because I was thinking about that usually this time, because I would always wait to the last minute to do all the shopping and I would just go out and buy stuff for everybody. And I think that was my way previously of dealing with the solstice, you know, like the down, whatever time I just go out and engage in this materialism and I'd get my serotonin that way. Now I got to rely on crack, but it's cool, man. Cause I still have all my teeth.
Allegedly.
So, what was I saying? Oh yeah. Okay. So I think it's
sorry,
like,
sorry, I interrupted.
No. That's perfect. I interrupted myself. What you said was great, because like what I was saying is that, it's an inversion with the materialism of all that. So that's where you get the Satan, because it's like Satanism, you know what I mean? And I love how our language works. It's been called before like a green language. It's a language of the bards, because there's so many synonyms and puns and all this stuff. And it works, I feel like, all the way. So that's why people are able to invert everything like that, because the way this language works, you know. But makes it's up sense. To you once you know the words and you're like, oh, I see what they're trying to do, those tricky little elves or whatever, you know.
Right. And that ties to me, that reminds me of Santos Bonacci's series called All is a Tum, or All is A-T-U-M.
Atom.
And the word Adam and like A-D-A-M, the name Adam, and A-T-O-M, the Adam.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam, by the
splitting
way.
Splitting of the Adam or whatever.
Three. Sorry.
Oh, Yeah, shout out to Adam.
Shout out to episode three. Episode three is our lowest viewed because remember that it like wouldn't let us view it, and then we had to do that view part. Yeah, but it's up there.
We had to re-upload it like 100 times because they made us take off a section of it that was allegedly copyright protected or whatever. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, but yeah, All is a Tom. That's a really awesome series that Santos explains how all these words that you don't even realize are all related. It's amazing. It's like etymology on crack. For you etymologists and all you like word lovers. Yeah.
Exactly. Sharon's people. Totally. No, I love words too. And like that kind of goes to, because we talked about energy. And I mean, basically from there, you know, as you, the party builds, like when I'm DJing, as the party builds, you just bring up the BPM, then you can bring it down and you play with the energy, and then you save certain songs and play them later. Everything's going really fast, and you drop it down. And when you do, you play like a really big song. So people are like, whoa. So they don't really notice the shift, but they get a break, you know? So there's all these things you do with energy. And I feel, people aren't really conscious of it. They just experience it. And that's why I think I'm able to be such a successful DJ and MC, if I do say so myself. It gets so many rave reviews because not only do I have a great attitude and I'm just there to have a good time, but I'm very conscious of this and I take it very seriously and I make it look easy, you know? So other DJs, when they're there, they're like, holy shit. Like, cause they've said that to me. They're like, holy shit. But people just watching, they're like, oh, this guy's probably just a stoner hanging out. You know, like I make mistakes sometimes, but I call myself out on the microphone. You know, it's really funny. So it is really, it's really a show and entertainment that I'm putting on. Mm-hmm. And that's what really helped me realize the power of music. And then once I found out that a lot of this stuff is kind of crabbled, because I always used to complain about the lyrics, because I used to like groups like Public Enemy, and all these groups that had like this positive message. Cause if you listen to the early Public Enemy, they're basically just like calling out the system. And then they're saying, we can all get along, black and white, we're all friends, you know? So it was some good stuff. And then later all this hip hop becomes just about like bitches and hoes and money and all this stuff. And like, it's about Bentleys, you know, how many Bentleys you got? And then The Rock and got together with Wyclef and they did that song. It doesn't matter. It's like, I got 50 Bentleys in the West Indies. It doesn't matter. Oh, dude, it's so great.
Yeah. What you were saying about being a DJ and like setting the energy up and then bringing it down, bringing it back up, playing a key song and like getting
sing-alongs.
Like whatever the drop the bass, what is that called again?
Yeah,
is it dropping the bass?
Yeah, they say drop the bass. Yeah, it's usually like if there's a buildup or something, then they're like, boom.
Yes, yes. Okay, yes. Okay, so that reminds me of this weekend at this event that I went to called Winter Solstice. I was volunteering at this event held here in Phoenix. And well, it was in an adjacent town. And we had actually, okay, so there was a lot of stuff like, okay, and it reminds me also of like other healing energy sounds like sound baths and sound therapy, right? Because there was a lot of that there at this event as well. There was a lot of yoga, sound baths, meditation type stuff going on. And so there were gongs and singing bowls, like crystal bowls. And there was a guy playing a cello. There was a woman playing a flute. I mean, and just even different flutes, like even like Native American flutes, just really soothing stuff while you were in like a lying down position of meditation, like a shavasana after the yoga was complete. And you're just like basking in this, like these amazing sounds, right? These very healing sounds, right? Okay. But like after those events in the evening, there was on one of the days, this Hungarian or like pretty famous Hungarian DJ, like trance music or like I would say EDM music DJ was there. Or house music as well. His name's Sonny Lax. He was there for a few hours, I think. And I got to listen to some of his stuff while I was kind of like on a break or whatever. I took some video of it, but like I would like time the video to where I was like, it was like kind of like slowing it, like the music was kind of slow and you could just like hear it like, and I was just like, dude, just drop the bass now. Like, it's just so good. Like, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? It was so cool. It was really cool.
We're losing Sharon. We're losing her. I'm just kidding.
Are you losing me?
No, I meant we're losing you to the new age movement. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No,
just new age, adjacent.
Yeah, no, I know. They seem like a really good group of people because they agree on one key thing. So we'll stay cool. And that's all we have to say. But anyway, so,
What's the one key thing?
That's awesome. Medical experiment, seizure serum.
Yeah. It was cool. Okay. Because everyone was showing their face there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So
And it's funny because I didn't notice until I got home and like a day later, I was like, wait, nobody mentioned it ever at all. Like nothing was said about it. Nobody was. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah,
I just like to say I have low standards these days. It's like, you know, I mean, I could hang out and talk to anybody, but you know, I could agree and get along with people and let them be without trying to, you know, argue with them too much. As long as they're like, I'm like, do you believe this is all random or there's some kind of creator? There's a creator. All right, great. That's good. And then, what was the next thing we were just talking about? Do you like to show your smiling face in public? All right, good. Then you just do whatever you want, man. You know, like,
yeah.
Do you? So anyway,
be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy. Do you?
Even if you don't, that's fine. But you know, don't come at me because you're gonna hear it. Because I'm tall and I got a loud voice and I got nothing but time. And I've been on many stages and been booed and stuff thrown at me, and I've even had people laugh at me sometimes, which is crazy.
Bah!
So yeah. So
how did you know they were laughing at you and not because of the joke, like not with you?
Oh, I meant laugh at my comedy. That's what I meant.
Oh.
But I have had people laugh at me too, but that's, I don't care. Just as long as
they're laughing.
Yeah. I just want to get laughs. Cause I know I think I'm funny. So that's all that matters. And I do want to work on my stuff and make it funnier for others, but like, I don't get insulted. You know, like I'm like, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said that or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that didn't make sense. But I don't get like all butthurt if I bomb, you know. It's funny. Cause I was older and I just didn't give a shit. Because I realized that I was probably smarter than most people in there. And it's not like an insult. It's just that I have this way of looking at the world that people might not follow, you know? And then it's good though, to hang out with people that have a different point of view because they help me to see the little things that I miss, you know, cause I'm always off in the clouds. So that's why we hang out with you, Sharon. I'm just kidding. You're very smart.
I'm just under a rock most of the time.
You're just over Sharon over here.
But yeah, so did we talk about lyrics and like how like you can have listened to a song like a million times and then like you find yourself, let's say it comes on and you hear yourself and you find yourself like singing the lyrics completely like, I would say unconsciously or just like not consciously aware of even what you're saying.
Yeah. Just like an automatic response.
Yeah. Because you know them, but you don't even like, you don't even know what you're saying. You're just mimicking basically what it says. And it makes me think of when people talk about the best way to learn a new language is to listen to music in that language. Because think of it, like you memorize songs so easily and you're not memorizing necessarily the actual lyrics of what you're saying because you don't remember, like unless you're sitting there going, okay, this means that and this means that in the song, you're just singing lyrics, you're just singing words and you're just mouthing them. You could do this in another language and that's how you can learn a language more easily. But anyway, I have found that recently I've been doing that But then I catch myself and I'm like, well, what is the song really saying? And like looking at what I'm saying with new eyes, like, what was I saying all that? Like, and I'm realizing I never really knew what, like, I never really paid attention to what these words were saying before. I was just unconsciously just mouthing all the lyrics without knowing what I was even saying. And now like songs will come on my playlist that I haven't heard in years, because I have a pretty big play, like a pretty big list of songs on my iTunes. And they don't call it iTunes anymore, but whatever, I still call it iTunes. And I like, well, song will come up, like a Sting song that I haven't heard in like 10 years will come up. And I'm like, what is he saying? Like, I'd never even heard this like this before. Like, it was almost like I was seeing it with new eyes. Just really interesting how impactful music and lyrics can be, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, especially when they're in despair, you know, like you get a lot of these songs that are like, I can't live without you anymore. Right. I can't live. And you're just like saying, I can't live. I can't live. I can't live. And it's a word spell, you know, someone's hearing that, you know, yeah. Could it be your higher self? You're like, all right, I guess you don't want to live anymore. We're going to just drugs, alcohol, whatever, you know, destructive behavior, bah, 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 driving drunk, whatever it is. All right. You're going to get on that motorcycle, do that wheelie into the fucking. Yeah. So.
What about
trust me, I've seen a lot of this behavior.
What about that song you were thinking about the other day? You wanted to change the lyrics too.
Which one?
Stuck on you.
what were the lyrics? I forget now.
Stuck on you. You remember that song?
Yeah, yeah. The Lionel Richie's one.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuck on you.
Yeah, but you were saying a different word.
What words was I saying?
Cucked on you.
Oh, cucked on you. Oh, yeah. Right. I got a feeling in my heart I'm going to kill myself if I don't get your approval. I guess I'm on my way to get a booster shot. Cucked on you. Yeah, man. You know, it's one thing to be in love with a beautiful woman, and it's another to emasculate yourself and be at her every whim, because I really feel like that's a test. And if you're failing that test, then your woman's going to have to maybe step up. Could it be, and fill that masculine role? And man, if that's what you're into, that's fine. But it could affect your kids and a lot of stuff, you know, look at me. No, I'm great, guys. I'm great. But yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. It's more about positive vibes. And I mean, if you still like that music, that's fine. But now you know, and no one is half the battle. So you could sing it and you could say, cucked on you to yourself, and you could just you laugh.
You can change the lyrics too for yourself. You can
change the lyrics.
And it's more fun that way too. Sometimes.
It's way more fun that way every time. I'm making claims at the end of the Oversharing show.
Yeah.
Is this the end? We still have white. Oh, we were going to talk about like kind of, well, I think we kind of talked about how genres affect people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just basically there's like different, you know, like how there's different personality types and introverts and extroverts. There's different also flavors of music and like areas of people. Like you get country, you get the rural people. And I see it one as like a tool, kind of a division. You know, everyone's like, just like, I like the Giants or I like the Jets or, you know, mm-hmm. I like my countries. But now it's kind of blending.
It's
which
blending
is
a lot.
Interesting, totally. Because it seems like the cultures are splitting, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
It's very strange.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that on another episode. That's an interesting. Well,
could it be?
Let me say, I really enjoy this episode, Sharon. Thank you very much. And thank you for being so patient. We were going to record last night and then I don't know what happened. My stomach, something. It must have been the sun. I'll blame it on the sun.
Blame it on the sun.
Blame it on the Dwayne. My friend Dwayne. We always like, blame it on the Dwayne. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Milli Vanilli, the ones that were singing, they're lip syncing for somebody else. There we go. We could talk about musical scandals maybe in the next episode too. Ooh, what's that all about? Why? why do we care about, you know, our artist's life? Like, I was, when Milli Vanilli happened, I'm like,
who cares?
So
doesn't everybody freaking do that?
No, I was like 13 or something. And I'm like, okay, do you like the song? I mean, I thought it was garbage the whole time anyway. So no, but if you like the song, who cares? Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. Anyway, anything else, Sharon, you want to overshare about? Yeah, I think you're good.
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, everybody, you know how to get a hold of us. Go to morelawsmoreproblems.com and you can find all the links that you'll ever need. Make sure you hit like, leave some comments under these videos. Let us know what you think. Let us know that you got all the way to the end. And we were talking about Cuck Down You, if you like that song. Talk about it in the comments. Maybe we can make it go viral. You know, reach out to Olive Tree Bear. You know, maybe that's something I could just probably do on my own. I mean, that's easy enough. So anyway, what do we say to the fine people, Sharon?
That if you're not over Sharon,
then you're definitely not Karen. So don't be a Karen and start sharing today.